Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda and I am in beautiful sunny Southern California, and I have my February and part of March co-host Dottie Leatherwood on the line. Good morning, Dottie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling so guilty because, as Dottie said, here I am writing and trying to type a show about how to be more assertive to say no. And Dottie's in the cast and can't really type. And, of course, I completely forgot. I feel so guilty when you send me the show notes and you're like, I can't type. My wrist is killing me. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so bad. Okay, so I'm throwing myself
really
under the bus.
It really did not happen until I was almost done. And I, all of a sudden, it just, you know, I hit that wall and I could not do anymore. And I thought, here I am, like, pushing things on myself. And part of our show is, you know, learning to say no to yourself. And evidently, that is my problem. I'm having a problem with doing
or
that.
Or say no to your friend, Leslie. So here's the deal. For those of you that don't know, my wonderful co-hosts help in putting the show notes together because it is, as you know, Dottie, a big chunk of time in every week. And in order to do this show, I don't know if I'd be able to do it if I had to write them every week. So I kind of ran out of time, and I'm in the middle of a workshop right now. Today's day 3 of my abstract workshop. And I don't know what day it was, on Monday or Tuesday. I'm like, Dottie, can you help? And, of course, she said, sure. And she should have said, no, I can't type. So, anyway, we are proving to be perfect subjects for today's show.
Yes. Yeah.
But, no, I am in the middle of a workshop, and it's amazing. I'm teaching an abstract workshop. And when you do something different with a new material and you need new handouts, I mean, it took a ton of work to put this together. And I am beyond excited. I can't even tell you. I'm giddy with happiness. So, and we are having a blast, and amazing paintings are coming out of the studio, and it's just been really fun. So I feel blessed to be able to share something that I so love to do with other people. So it's all
That's
good.
Awesome.
And I'll be heading to Ventura in a week and a half to do another one, and then I'm in Atlanta end of next month. So it's very good. Very, very good.
Well,
this show today, which is called How to Be More Assertive and Say No, applies to every single artist on the planet. And kudos to Sandra Busby, who took the time to send me a really inspiring email, and I'm going to read it to you, which she gave me permission to do. Her email says, I have an idea for an aha show, How to Be More Assertive and Say No. I've been struggling lately with this problem since I'm one of those people who find saying no very difficult at times, especially when I feel emotionally pressured. Okay, that hit home immediately. I used to do a fair few pencil portraits of people's loved ones who had passed away. I do them occasionally for free just to be nice and without being asked. But word got around, and now I get lots of requests for freebies. And honestly, these days, since I have gotten so much busier with my art, I just can't afford the time. And I should mention she has a day job for 30 hours a week as well. Another example is last week, an old school friend who I haven't seen in years contacted me and told me her daughter, who's a beauty therapist, had made it to the national championship for nail art. But she needed that extra edge to get her through to the finish line by way of some art lessons. They did offer to pay, but I explained to them that as much as I'd love to be able to help, I have an exhibition to prepare for in May and a body of work to build for a gallery who would like some work for the summer. So she explained her time is very limited and therefore precious right now. When I explained this, she got an email back saying she was counting on me and really needed my help. So as you can imagine, she felt really pressured by this. And whilst she just about managed to dig her heels in with the one to the art lesson, she did find herself agreeing to help by way of online support and guidance. The next thing she knew, she wrote, I've spent 2 hours drafting an email with exercises for her to do and step-by-step photographic examples, which she also drew herself for that purpose. And this was time that she really should have been spending in the studio. She concludes, these are just two examples, but there are plenty of others I could mention. And I always feel incredibly guilty and selfish if I can't do it. So inevitably, I usually end up agreeing to it. I find that people who draw or paint assume that for an artist it's really easy to just knock something out without much time or effort.
Yeah.
But we all know that this is not the case. So her question is, how do we become more assertive when it's not in our nature to be that way? Oh, my. Thank you, Sandra. This is such an amazingly true to all of us an important topic. I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. I see myself in that so much. Don't you?
Yeah.
Especially the snowballing part. You know, you think that starts out as this little request and it turns into this great big thing before it's all over with.
Well, we all struggle with saying no. And when saying yes puts on our own art careers and goals on the back burner, then we need to stop and rethink our priorities and saying no more often when it's not in our best interest. But that's really hard to do. That's the problem.
It is so hard, yes. And I say yes a lot. And as you well know. But, you know, it's been a really good thing, though, for me. So it's almost as if it's paid off. And so I'm more inclined to say yes because good things have come from saying yes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, I've done things that I would have never thought possible and learned a lot in the process by just sort of jumping out there and saying, sure, I'll do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's opened doors. I've met great people. So I guess I'm technically a quote unquote yes person.
Well, I think most of us are.
Yeah, I think most of us are raised that way, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I do.
I mean, I know I was.
It's not our fault.
You know? But
I totally agree.
Is a downside. You know, as anything, you know, there is a happy medium. And when you go overboard in any direction, it's really never a good thing. Yes, people often put themselves last, overcommit, and end up stressed out. And mm-hmm. I will say that I'm all three of those.
Yeah.
I was reading when I was doing research for this show, there was there's actually a book out there and I haven't read it, so I can't recommend it, but I thought it was kind of a funny title. It's by Dr. Susan Newman, and the title of her book is The Book of No, 250 Ways to Say No and Mean It. So maybe that would be a good purchase for me. I don't know. But she says that yes, people become weighed down, torn, trapped, or taken advantage of, and as a result are unhappy or annoyed with themselves for being easy marks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. I mean, you usually end up mad with yourself for putting yourself
in that
position.
That's so true because, you know, I think as artists, you know, as a profession, we get asked for a lot of free advice and contributions and lessons and commissions. Mm-hmm. And the theory that because, you know, we love what we do, we shouldn't mind doing it for free seems to be part of the problem. And if you are a yes person, which at least two of us on this phone call are, by nature and an artist, how do you say no? And there's some suggestions. The first one is to say no. The next one is to say nope. Or try no thank you. Or not possible. Or no way. Okay, kidding. If it were as easy as that, then there wouldn't be a need for this show today. So why is it so hard to say no? And according to Callie Monroe, who's a psychotherapist, you may be a people pleaser. And that is 100% what I am. I don't know about you, Dottie,
mm-hmm.
but that's
part of
me.
Oh, I read the description, and it was, I mean, I thought, ooh, it was a little bit creepy because she knows exactly. I mean, it was mm-hmm. a word-for-word description of me. So, yes, I'm guilty as charged.
People pleasers think of other people's needs before their own. They worry about what other people want, think, or need and spend a lot of time doing things for others. They rarely do things for themselves and feel guilty when they do. And it's really hard being a people pleaser, I might add, because people pleasers accomplish so much and are so easy to get along with, they're often the first to be asked to do things. They are vulnerable to being taken advantage of, and it's important to learn to change that pattern. Yeah, that's me. Guilty. I'm charged.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So So you're not alone. And I think there are a lot of us out there. And I think women, more so than men, are raised to be people pleasers by their mothers. I mean, I just think that's sort of a common thing. I was reading that thinking, oh gosh, have I raised people pleasers? And there is a good part to that, but
of course,
like we were just saying, it can go south on you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also reading, there's a great blog by Celestine Chua, and I'm not sure if I pronounced her name right, but it's called
it's
The Personal Excellence Blog.
C-H-U-A is how you spell her last name.
Yeah. It's called The Personal Excellence Blog, and she offers the following reasons as to why people find it hard to say no. And the first one is that you want to help. You're a kind soul at heart. You don't want to turn the person away, and you want to help where possible, even if it may eat into your time. And that's, you know, that's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. You're afraid of being rude, and that is such a Southern thing. I think all of us in the South are in this boat together. We were all brought up under the notion that saying no, especially to people who are your elders,
mm-hmm.
or and that you respect, is rude. And I think this thinking is probably common in a lot of other cultures as well. But I know
sure.
in the South, you know, you always say yes, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be agreeable. You don't want to alienate yourself from the group because you're not in agreement. So you conform to others' requests. And everybody wants to get along, and that sometimes doesn't work really well for you. There's a fear of conflict, and I am guilty of this. I don't like conflict. You're afraid the person might be angry if you reject him or her, and this might lead to an ugly confrontation. Even if there isn't, there might be dissent created, which might lead to negative consequences in the future. And this one and the next one, I think, apply a lot to our customers and clients as well. You know, you it's hard to say no because you don't want to lose them. The next one is fear of lost opportunities. Perhaps you're worried saying no means closing doors. So if you turn down that commission, then maybe you might lose that client that might not come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we also don't want to burn bridges. Some people take no as a sign of rejection, and we don't want to end relationships, you know, keep going and saying yes just to keep, you know, the peace, I guess.
Right. That is so true. And if we don't get better at saying no, other people's priorities will take precedence over yours. Mere acquaintances, people we barely know, will crowd out time with family and close friends. We won't have the time we need for rest and recovery. I will end up frustrated and stressed. And we won't be able to say yes to the really important things. And that's because every time you say no to something that's not a priority, you're saying yes to something that is. And, oh, that's just a killer statement. So,
yes,
so important.
It is.
And I'll repeat that. Every time you say no to something that's not a priority, you are saying yes to something that is. And that's really important. So we're all hit up with requests from so many different directions. Friends, family, charitable organizations, clients, students, even we ourselves are guilty of not telling ourselves no when it's in our best interest. We thought we'd take you through some different scenarios in each of these instances to give you some ideas on how to say no and stick to it.
And I thought this was interesting because, you know, certain things work with certain people. And I think you have to, if you can figure out how to tailor your no to who you're talking to,
mm-hmm.
I think half the battle is done.
I agree.
So hopefully these can help you. Everyone, take notes. Friends and family are the first group and the hardest group to say no to.
Yeah.
A strong personal relationship always clouds the issues, and especially where art is concerned, especially when you bring your art into it. Oftentimes we feel like we can't turn them down, whether it's a piece of free art, so they want some that little painting for free for me, or maybe they expect a really big friends and family discount, and we feel compelled to give it to them. Here's the thing, though. If you provide free or discounted art to all of your family and all of your friends, guess what? You don't have an art business any longer.
Right.
Everything's going out and nothing is coming in. And I think a lot of times, in this case, you begin to feel really resentful of the fact. And it's sort of like that snowball. You know, you discount a piece to one person. Well, guess what? They're going to tell someone else and they're going to expect the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of put yourself in a really bad position there. Maybe it's a personal request that takes valuable time out of your day that you should be spending in the studio, and that happens so much. You know, I need for you to do blank, or can you go to this meeting with me, or would you be on a board, you know, that I'm on? And you say yes because you feel like you should, and you're flattered that they ask you. But then can't, you know, you're not in your studio painting.
Right.
So here are some strategies to handle these situations. Honesty is always the best policy. Even though it feels uncomfortable, telling a little white lie to get you out of something will usually turn around and bite you.
Yeah.
Be honest. You have nothing to apologize for. Tell them you're busy. Tell them you can't afford to give it to them for free. Tell them that you can't afford to give a hefty discount. You'll be glad to let them pay on time or some other way, but you can't. You just can't go there.
Right.
Another way you can get away from, if being honest is really hard for you, then delay committing. Sometimes it's easier to buy yourself some time by saying, let me check my schedule or let me get back to you on that. That way you're not making a quick decision, or worse, saying yes because you can't think of a reason to say no immediately. And I have done that so many times. I blurt out yes while I'm desperately trying to think of a reason that I can't do it, that I can't come up with anything quick enough. So take a deep breath and say, you know what, I'll get back to you on that.
I love that. And another thing you can do is suggest an alternative, and that's, I think, my natural inclination. I can't do this, but I can do that. Or, you know, I'm sorry I can't do that lesson for you, but how about if you try this artist? I mean, there's a lot of ways. It just doesn't feel like you're saying no. It still feels like you're helping them, which is, I think, that I don't want to say personality flaw because it's a really good thing. But it's the ability to kind of say, I can't, but try this. And you can also say, and this is, again, being honest, I need to focus on my career or personal life right now. So don't be ashamed to admit your priorities and putting your own needs first. I mean, that's what we all need to do. Another thing is make sure that they're aware that your art is a business. A lot of people think, oh, she's an artist, so all she does is play in her studio all day and she can paint anything she wants. And they have no idea about commissions and, in Sandra's case, an upcoming exhibition and a gallery that needs work. I mean, they don't understand that. And even if your art is a hobby, supplies cost money, which is important to know. Now, with friends and family, I have, with the exception of my immediate family, as in my three children and my husband, who don't pay for my art, obviously, anyone else, I'll give them a really good discount. Like, and it's always usually 25%. And it's just easy and simple, and it's there, and I don't have to think about it. And I have no problem with that, no problem whatsoever. But, you know, sometimes with some people, a no with no explanation is even the best response. And it's the hardest one for us to do, I think. You know, giving reasons can sometimes leave you open to further discussion or negotiation. And give the person who's asking something of you grounds to get their foot in the door and argue their case. And remember, you're not obligated to explain yourself or justify your decision. All you need to do is say no. And here's the thing. When I say yes and I know I should have said no, then the whole time I'm like angry and mad. You know what
right.
I mean? Because I know I blew it. I know I did.
Yeah.
And that's hard and very frustrating. So, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of these come, if you know who's asking you, it makes a
right.
difference.
Especially yeah.
if you know the person is going to be argumentative, don't even give a reason because you're
mm-hmm.
really opening yourself up. So
right.
Know your audience. It applies
oh, yeah.
to everything.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The next area that we have trouble in with being assertive are our students sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If you teach, you know that this one can be a really tough one. Most of us give everything we have to our students. I know I, try to go overboard sometimes trying to help someone understand something or spend a little extra time with them, trying to help them, figure out what they need to do next. I mean, that's why we teach. We love that relationship that we have with them. But we
right.
need to set boundaries even with our students and stick to them.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching requires so much in the way of preparation and time. And time, even though it technically doesn't cost money, it costs time away from something else that you might need to be doing, like painting or
right.
Hanging out with your family. So here are some strategies to deal with saying no in teaching. If you're asked for free lessons, and that happens a good bit, can you teach me how to paint? But they don't really expect you to, they don't want to pay to come to a class. Saying I don't have time for that in my schedule right now is not unreasonable, and it's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Know when your schedule is filled up, and don't hesitate to communicate that. And don't also hesitate to say, sure, I would love to teach you how to paint. Here is a schedule of my classes. Everything you need to know is on there, including the dates, the times, and the amount. And if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yeah.
That's what should be said. If you're asked to teach something that you are not comfortable with, perhaps it's a different way of painting. It could be a different medium. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asked before, and I bet you probably have too. I love the way, and they'll fill in the name of the artist, paints. Can you teach me how to paint just like that?
Oh yeah, that happens in my workshops all the time.
Yes. No is and sometimes it's hard. I'll say no and try to explain why. And a lot of times people don't. They just don't understand it. So if that doesn't work, you can say, I'm not the most qualified person for that job. It's
right.
a way of admitting your limitations up front and avoid feeling overwhelmed down the road when you really can't come through for them.
Mm-hmm.
You could go further and say, I have no experience with that, and I would be happy to find you someone who can teach you that.
Yes.
And that way you've helped them, but you've got yourself off the hook.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so true. Okay, what about clients? Okay, here's your bread and butter. Here's the people that buy
yeah.
your art. And
this
how can
hard.
You ever say no to them? Because we work really hard to not only get but keep our customers, and saying no to them is so hard. We're afraid
yeah.
of losing them and losing referrals or getting a bad reputation. And so whether it's a commission gone bad or a client that's too demanding, we tend to bend over backwards to make them happy. So here are some really important things to remember with clients. The first is learn to identify a reasonable request. It's important to be able to identify a reasonable request as opposed to something that's a waste of time. If your client comes to you because of an error you made, of course you need to fix it. If a client comes to you because they need clarification about the details of a project, you need to take time to explain it to them thoroughly and avoid problems in the future. But if you have a gut feeling that what you're being asked to do is beyond reasonable, it might be time to say no. And I can't even tell you how important that is. especially when it comes to things like commissions, because somebody may ask you to do something totally out of your realm. And that's where I think the problem is this: you can't read a client's mind. You don't know what they really want, and most of the time, or a lot of times, they can't articulate it. So if you're out of your league to begin with, I highly warn you to be very careful. And it also comes down to the personality of the client. I think a lot of us can get an understanding very quickly on whether or not it feels like it's the right fit. And that's a very, very important component of working with clients. Because sometimes people aren't happy, or they just have different expectations, or, you know, sometimes you can just sense it. So,
trust your instincts, right?
So true. So true. Yeah.
We all kind of think, you know, you want to be, when you're running a business, any business, but in our business specifically, you want to provide really good customer service. You want to make them happy.
Yeah.
I thought this was very interesting, the take on this, that no is not bad customer service, despite what we think. Good customer service is solid communication, showing some compassion, a willingness to help them solve their problem, and then putting that plan into action. So that's what good customer service is. If you have to say no, how do both of those work together? Well, your clients want to be heard and understood. They want to know that you are listening to what they say.
Mm-hmm.
But they also want you to solve whatever request or problem that they have. So even though they may come to you with a solution or request that they came up with, they're usually open and eager to hear what your take is on the matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you simply say yes to everything they ask you, you are putting at risk the very last step, which is to put your plans into action. And if you can't come through on all of your promises, then by default, you've delivered bad customer service.
Yeah.
But saying no is not bad customer service. Good customer service relies on solving problems, even if the solution is not what the client has offered, and even if you can't help the client. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I can't do that, but I'd be glad to help you find someone that can.
Right. So true. And it's, once again, softening the blow at the counter offer is my favorite thing to do, because it's the easiest way to say no, because you don't really feel like you're saying no, because you're giving them another solution. In the event that the client doesn't like your counter offer, you know, you're kind of left in a good position, because you can now more confidently and easily give them a no, because you've kind of offered them a solution and they said no, not you, which I like.
Yeah. Takes you off the hook.
Makes me feel way better.
This all makes so much sense, doesn't it?
It really does.
Putting it all into action.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the next big thing, and this is one where we really get hit up hard, is charity. Donations of your time, of your service, of your artwork, you name it. I mean, it happens weekly to me, and I'm sure to everyone else. We get asked a lot to contribute. And when I was trying to figure out ways around this problem, and I've tried everything, a little bit of everything, as I'm sure you have, but you can't get to everybody. I mean, you just cannot. And even when you do, you know, is it really helping, you know, them, or is it really helping you? You half the time you never even know.
Yeah.
So I was on Maria Brophy, and she was a guest on the show years ago, wasn't she?
Right. Yeah.
Back when you and Dreema did the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very interesting. Her husband is an artist, and she sort of runs the business side of things. And
big
she
time.
Had a great. Yes, and she had a great take on this whole problem and some wonderful suggestions about how to solve the problem. Artists are constantly asked to give to schools, charities, and companies. And giving feels great, but many artists are giving too much, and it creates a financial hardship. So she suggested two things. The first thing is to sell your art to them at a wholesale price, payable at delivery. Or the second thing, your art in exchange for a 50-50 split of the auction proceeds. And I just actually had an experience with that, and it was a wonderful thing. It was nice to be
it's
able to...
It's the best idea. I don't know why I never thought of
yes.
it. I mean, I've been in charge of probably 30 auctions in my lifetime. And there are there have always been, like, the sports memorabilia stuff that you can put in the auction. You do have to give them a percentage. And it's kind of like, why did I never think of that? Brilliant.
Well, this auction,
brilliant.
This charity auction was given, was started by a friend of mine, and she is an artist. So maybe coming from, you know, her perspective, she thought of it. And it was a quickly put together, and she approached about 40 different artists in the area, and they were raising money for homeless kids in high school, and were able to raise over $25,000, I think.
And what did they? How did they do the financial arrangement?
It was a split.
Oh, well, okay.
So
perfect.
We all put paintings in, and they and the proceeds were split. And they were still able to raise a substantial amount of money.
Right.
And the artists were able to, you know, get half of it back as if we had just, you know, sold it to our, you know, sold it in a gallery. So it was a great deal for both parties. And I hope that it's sort of the way of thing, the way things start going in the future.
Yeah. That's great. Well, there's a couple scenarios and kind of ways to handle it that Dottie put together. And so let's just use the scenario of where a charity requests a piece of art that will be auctioned at a live event. And your response could be, quote, "Thank you for your interest in my art. I'm happy to provide a high-value art piece for your event so that you can generate profit as well as impress your attendees. This is how I work with charities." And it's really important to say that so they don't think it's just them. "But this is how I work with charities. I'm able to donate 40% of the retail price of the art piece you choose. The other 60% will be payable to me at pickup or delivery. Any money your charity earns over the 60% that you pay is all yours." Fair enough? So it's a good idea. It's a really good idea. Another option is a gift certificate, because if the charity says, "No, thank you, we don't have the budget to purchase your art," your next option is, of course, to give them a gift certificate, not an actual art piece. And the reason for doing that is because the gift certificate, in many cases, would not actually buy a whole piece of art. And you can word it such, like, this gift certificate gives the holder $50 off any art piece over $500. You know, this gives you $250 off of a piece valued at $600 or more. Whatever you want to do, it's just a nice way to kind of do what you mentioned before, but also I think have an opportunity. And the charity earns money off the auction, and you gain a new art buyer in a sale when the buyer comes to cash in their certificate. I have often donated workshops, but put a caveat that they can only be booked 30 days in advance, because it gives my paying artists a chance to sign up first. So if they're full, they can't. So there's, because there's, you know, at just putting a body in a workshop, if the spot was going to be there anyway, is kind of no big deal. So there's kind of ways to offer a product that you have that doesn't cost you. I will always donate an online class. I have no cost to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's easy.
Well, I really like the gift certificate idea, because here's the thing. When you donate a piece of art to a charity and you get the nice little letter back saying, "Thank you so much for donating. You know, we appreciate it. Your art was bid up and the buyer loved it." But guess what? You don't know who the buyer was.
Mm-hmm.
You may never
see
them again. You don't
know
their name.
Point.
You get nothing about them. So
very,
if you have
very
a gift
good
certificate,
point.
You at least know who the buyer is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have the opportunity to make a sale Otherwise, you know, it's just anonymous out there bought your art and you don't, you know, you have no idea. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I love that too. Very smart.
Okay. Here's another one, that how to turn a charity request for free art into a paid sale. You can get paid. Artists are constantly asked. But if you are an artist that is giving too much, then you've got to figure out another way around it. I mean, artists, photographers, we make what we do look too easy, don't you think? That's why our friends and families and even strangers ask us to donate much of our valuable time and art, not realizing that this is what we do for a living.
Yeah.
Some artists donate so much that it harms their family, their future, and can eventually put them out of business. Art supplies are so not, they're not free. They're expensive.
Yeah.
And I think it's all, it's always interesting when people take a class from me and they have to go buy paint and they realize how much paint costs.
Of course.
And I always like to say to them, you know, this is part of the reason why art, you know, you always wonder, why does that painting cost so much? Well, there's a lot that goes into it besides time. You know, there are costs up front that you have to do. Sorry, I have a lab that is feeling the need for some attention. He just got right in my face. I lost my place. I could not say no, but I did again. I pushed him back down. So I know one professional artist who had given so much of his work away he can no longer afford property to provide for himself. It doesn't have to be this way. Giving money is sometimes better than giving art, which is pretty interesting. How the promise, and there are some other things that she goes into here. The promise of promoting your art is bogus.
Totally. They don't really do that.
And it is.
Half the time, they don't even remember to put business cards or anything out in front of the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why a charity will pay you, even if they want it for free.
Mm-hmm.
So she says that they will pay. How to get paid for art. And she gives also in a couple more scripts here. So she says if you implement these strategies, you will increase your sales by turning free into paid opportunities. And you'll still be that generous, loving, wonderful person that everybody wants to approach for donations.
Yeah.
So giving is good. Do it mindfully.
Yeah.
If someone calls you for a donation for an auction, how can you say no? It's so hard. We all get.
Can I mention something on that, though?
Yes.
Okay, when I get the totally random calls from people I don't know, the charity I've never heard of, my answer to them is, you know what, at the beginning of the year, I allocate all my donations, and I'm so sorry, but I've already done that, and I don't have anything available for this year. So it's kind of a way of saying no, but it's also saying I already gave to someone else. And I have no problem donating to the organizations that I have been involved in or I have a kind of an attachment to. But these totally random emails that I get from people who obviously have contacted every artist in Southern California or people I haven't seen in 10 years, I don't know. I'm a lot less – I guess I feel a lot less guilty by saying no.
Yeah, I totally agree. We handle it that way personally, and I handle it that way professionally.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot donate to every great, and there are a bajillion great causes out there. You know, there are.
Yeah.
All of them are legitimate in some way, but you can't afford, no one can afford to donate to all of them. You have to pick and choose. So I guess what she's saying here is do it mindfully. Pick and choose what's near and dear to your heart and give to that.
I agree.
And there's nothing wrong with telling someone, you know, these are my charities, this is who I donate to, and, you know, thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm. I think it's true. Now, Dottie, you mentioned one of Maria's suggestions of why giving money is better than donating art. And I know we all go, oh, it's cash out of our pockets. And the thing is,
I can give this old ugly painting sitting over here in the corner that nobody's bought for 10 years.
Well, that's
maybe
the
that
first thing you
instead.
Do not do. You do not donate an old ugly painting,
exactly.
Which is very tempting because there is a chance you're getting, I mean, people see your art and they might be, oh, wow, I didn't know she painted. Ooh, oh, yeah, that's cool. I need to call her. So you can't underestimate your time, materials, blood, sweat, and tears are worth something. So when you get to a point where you're giving, 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 you lose track of how much it's really costing you as an artist. And the tricky part is donating a painting, you can only deduct your materials cost. You can't even deduct your time cost. Although I know that is changing, and it might have just changed, and I don't want to go on record of saying what you can and cannot do, because when it comes to taxes, I am not an accountant. But I do believe that is in the process of changing, because that's ridiculous. But,
well, it is. And most of the people that ask you for things have no idea that that's the case. They think that if you donate a $1,500 painting that you can write that off.
In fact, that is actually another way to just – that's another explanation you could give by saying, you know, I'll split the proceeds with you. Or I have to have you pay me, you know, $250 for this painting, and you can keep anything above. Because if you say the only thing I can deduct is my materials on this painting, I can't even deduct my time. You can only imagine how expensive that is for me, which I think. And if you donate money, obviously it's easily tracked, and you can donate. You can write off the full amount for taxes, and. If you donate like $1,500 in cash, the IRS gives you that full write-off. If you donate a $1,500 painting, you may write off $35 for your canvas and your paint.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. And don't fall for the, oh, you know, we'll promote your art and it'll be so good for you, because that's it just doesn't work. You do get some promotion because your art is there. But over time, you don't really get new paying clients directly from a charitable donation. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of giving art away to get you more business is kind of false. And if you think that's why you should do it, you are doing it for the wrong reasons. The real reason why you should do it is to help the organization raise money. And that's pretty simple and clear. And you shouldn't have any expectations that it's going to necessarily bring you clients. So,
because it usually won't.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever gotten any clients from something that I've donated.
Mm-hmm.
If I have, they've never owned up to it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So true.
So true. So here's her scenario about how charities work and why they will pay for your art, even if they want it for free. And I think that's interesting. She, as the way she approaches it, she wants to turn their request into a sale, and that would be a fabulous thing if you could make it work for everyone. Charitable organizations are run like any other business. They have a product, which is basically what they're raising money for. Their promise. They have a vision, and their brand is usually well established. Just like other businesses, they need logos, designs, lawyers, websites, and the whole bit. And if they want any of this done, guess what? They pay for it.
Right.
Usually that's not donated. So
yeah, most times it's not.
You kind of need to think about it in terms of if you are in line with that sort of that type of business.
Mm-hmm.
If you were the lawyer, you wouldn't expect to do the work for free. If it's an auction item they want, like we were talking about earlier, offer to sell your art to them at a wholesale price.
Right.
Or offer to do it 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
If they still want it for free, then here's the thing. Most businesses find out quickly that if going to an artist with little or no experience, one who charges nothing, will usually not get them what they need. They're usually not going to get an artist that is going to raise the auction price to where they need it to be.
Yeah.
They will have to pay for it.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. And, you know, artists who don't charge charities often donate, as we mentioned, the kind of old dusty piece that they couldn't sell. And that's not a good way to make a good impression. So here's the thing. You don't need to say no. You can say yes, but you can't feel bad about charging charities for your work because everyone
no.
else is getting paid and they don't feel bad about it. The employees at the charities get a paycheck every week. You know, so as do their attorneys, as does the landlord that, you know, I mean, everyone does get paid and it's only fair. So if the charity doesn't accept your proposal or your offer, that's okay. Let it go. But once again, you've given them a solution instead of a no. And they're the ones that are making the choice of saying no to your idea. So, you know, and they may find artists who are willing to give art away, and that's fine. But I don't know. I think it kind of legitimizes what you do. It really does.
Exactly.
But be creative.
You become, well, you know, and it goes right back to the same thought that, you know, everyone feels like since we love what we do, we should love to do it for free as well as for money, you know, and that it's not taken seriously as a profession. And part of that issue is that maybe we're perpetuating that a little bit.
Right, right.
By doing these sort of things. And I thought this was an interesting story that Maria gave about something that happened to them. And
yeah,
it's worth
interesting.
a listen to learn, you know, you can kind of, it's one of those little fables that you learn from. So I'm going to read it and, you know, kind of put yourself in this position because it was very interesting. A few years ago, a very dear friend of mine, this is Maria talking, asked Drew, who is her husband, to create an illustration package for his charity. They needed logo treatments, a full illustration, and T-shirt designs. It was going to take Drew at least 4 to 5 weeks from start to finish. I was excited and said, "Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'll work up a proposal for you." And he said, "Oh, well, we were hoping that Drew would do it for free." That before. My enthusiasm dropped like a lead balloon. I explained to my friend, "What you are asking for is an entire month's income from us." He countered, "But thousands of people will see the art. It will be a great promotion for you." Gosh, I mean, have you had this happen? I've had this.
Oh, yeah.
I jokingly suggested, "Why don't you just donate a month of your income to the charity and that can pay for the art?" He went silent. It helped to put it in perspective for him. I don't know if I'd be that brave to say that.
I
but
love
I mean,
that.
It's true. It's true, though. And then he said apologetically, "Wow, I never looked at it like that." I gave them a proposal that offered a donation of a price break, 20% off of our typical charge for an illustration package. I told them that if the charity decided not to accept our proposal, we would understand and would help them find a young illustrator who was still learning and who would charge them less. A week later, my friend called to say that the charity accepted our proposal. They decided not to use a cheaper, inexperienced illustrator because this project was going to be highly publicized and it had to look professional. Drew completed the project, and it was a win-win for everyone. So there you go.
Yeah. And I don't think she didn't lose her friend, as she mentioned. It all worked out great for everybody involved. And she does have more scripts, Dottie. I don't know if we want to go through all of these, but I think that it's kind of cool. So I want to add something here. Why don't you actually talk about what you put down as number 21?
What did you want me to say that? Because I broke it last night and did not do this one correctly. Okay, so personally, we have to. Oh, this is bad. Personally, we have trouble saying no, and it's not necessarily just to other people. I know that I take on things. No one's forcing my hand. You know, I'm doing it myself. I am over ambitious with my time, with what I want to accomplish. And I end up usually getting myself into trouble because I don't realize that there are limits to what I can do. You know, everything seems possible at the beginning. That's the problem. But when you get middle of the way through things, they don't always seem, you know, to be as possible as you thought it would be. So it's very important to learn to prioritize your life
mm-hmm.
and to put yourself first. And I know I struggle with that a lot. So the suggestion is identify, you know, get a piece of paper and a pencil and identify your top five priorities. And then say no to everything else.
That's pretty blunt, but it certainly makes sense.
It is. You know, but it's a great place to start. Maybe
mm-hmm.
maybe you can't do five, maybe it's seven. But, I mean, they need to be big enough priorities, as in family.
Right.
You know, if that, where is that on your list? Time with your family, uninterrupted time, you know, spent focusing on your family, not doing your computer, doing your art business, all your marketing on your computer while your family's sitting in the room and everyone's watching television. That necessarily not the same thing.
Oh, wait,
so
that's not when you...
About
that's when I do my marketing. That's part of my priorities.
That's why I said that, because that's exactly what I do, the same thing. And that's not truly uninterrupted time with your family. We're
right.
just physically all sort of hanging out in the same space.
Yes.
You're not totally there. And I think it is, you know, a lot of our brains, I mean, at least mine, is just, I mean, I'm scattered among a million things. And
mm-hmm.
to get things done, you kind of have to be a lot of the time. So focusing is on one thing at a time is a struggle. But getting back to your priorities, if you're having trouble figuring out what items need to be on the top five list, you can ask yourself some questions. So the first one is, does this task really need to be done? And need is the key word here. We often do things because we think that they should be done, but they really aren't needs. So there's a difference between need and want and should and could.
Mm-hmm.
The second question to ask yourself is, must I be the one to do it, or can the task be completed by someone else or a group of people? Learning to delegate, oh my gosh, I'm so bad at that. Trust others to do things or work with others can both save time and improve the quality of certain items on our to-do list.
You're making me realize how hard it is to say no to yourself in saying these
yes.
things.
Yes. I mean, I think really and truly, that's the hardest. We are the it's the hardest one.
Yeah.
I mean, I really mm-hmm. think it's harder than friends and family.
Yeah.
The third question is, must it be perfect, or will just being done be enough? Okay, here's the Leslie one. Really, do you have to make the 7-part, 12-layer cake for the birthday party, or will a simple but delicious chocolate cake do?
The former, of course.
It's fine to spend your time on things that you are interested in and love, but not everyone can be an expert and interested in everything, and everything cannot be done to the nth degree.
Right.
That one was
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
The last one is, does it have to be done now? Can it be done tomorrow? Or can it be done next week or even next month? Make a later list. Stuff that you will do when you have a few minutes later on in the day, later on in the week, or later on in your life. Despite what we're so often told, not everything is urgent. Not everything
mm-hmm.
has to be done right now.
Right.
I mean, I can remember, okay, so go back to when your kids were little, and you would say, I need whatever it was now. And you
right.
know, I can remember looking at them and saying, the world is not going to end. Exactly. If you don't get it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we need to tell that to ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, you're right.
I know,
saying no to yourself is by far the hardest. Well, when I woke up this morning after promoting the AHA show, there was a very funny post on one of my Facebook pages. Wendy Thompson posted this thing that says 10 ways to say no. And I'm going to share them with you. Actually, it's not funny, but the organization that posted it, that name made me laugh. But the first one is no. Second, I can't give you an answer right now. Will you check back with me? And that's that way to kind of stall so you can think of a reason why
that's
you can't
a great
do it.
One.
Three, I'm not able to commit to that right now. Four, I really appreciate you asking me, but I can't do it. Five, I understand you really need my help, but I'm just not able to say yes to that. Six, I'm going to say no for now. I'll let you know if something changes. I kind of like that one. Seven, I'm honored that you would ask me, but my answer is no. Eight, no, I can't do that, but here's what I can do. Nine, I don't have that to give you right now. And 10, under different circumstances, I'd love to, but right now I can't. And then it puts at the bottom, this was printed by the Society of Recovering Doormats.
Oh, no.
I know.
That's real.
Oh, my gosh. I guess
never wanted to be a doormat.
I know, but if you think about it, that's the problem.
Yeah.
When you let people kind of run all over you.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. We've all heard it before. People will treat you how you allow them to treat you.
Exactly.
And it can go as far as, you know, as for yourself. You know, if you mistreat yourself, it's a lot easier to keep mistreating yourself and not setting priorities and not saying no is a way of putting yourself last.
I guess
you're making yourself your own doormat. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it really definitely, I mean, everything is a great cause, but you just, you know, one person can't do everything.
Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. Well, what a great show. And this is such an important part of being a successful artist is knowing when and how to say no, because it's just super important.
It is. It's hard. It really is hard. But I think it's like anything else. Practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you the more you do this, the more you put these things into practice, the easier it gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
totally agree. Marvelous.
It's just doing it.
Thank you, Dottie. Thank you so much. And I have 3 minutes. I've got students out in my studio ready to start day three of our workshop. But thank you again.
Right.
Thank you so
Enjoy
much.
It.
We will be on.
I'll see you next week.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.